If you go to Daniel chapter 12, I'll just read you verses 8 through 13, even though some of the information that we'll be reading about won't be covered, because we'll be reminding what we taught last week and then bringing verse 8 and 9 into play here. But in verse 8 it says, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall the end of these... What shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." That the last verse in 13 is just a good summary of all the revelation that Daniel received. And anyhow, when we get there, we'll deal with that. But when we pick up our study in verse 8, it actually sounds like back up in verse 4, where in verse 4 it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." So Daniel is told, it's as if the Lord is saying to Daniel, "Okay, I've said everything I'm going to say. Seal the book. We're done giving revelation." And then as soon as he's done giving revelation, he gives Daniel another vision. Verse 5, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two other, one on one side of the bank of the river, the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and half a time, when he shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people, and these things shall be finished." All these things shall be finished. So it's like Daniel, okay, I'm done giving you revelation. Then he gives him a vision. Well, you can understand then when you get to verse 8, when Daniel says, "And I heard, but I understood not. And I said, Lord, what shall the end of these things be?" Well, you can't just leave me hanging here, Lord. You told me to seal up the book. You gave me one more vision. And that, remember, we talked about the vision last week, so we don't need to go back there. But the vision is basically going back to the beginning of chapter 10, where he sees the Lord standing by that river Hiddekel. And it's really the Lord coming back to establish his kingdom on this earth. And now he sees an angel on each side, and then the Lord makes that decree that'll be a time, times, and half a time till all these things be finished. And all of a sudden, Daniel gets another glimpse, two more angels. And what we did last week is, what I pointed out to you is, not only is Jesus Christ coming back to establish the kingdom, but he's going to fulfill fully all the promises made to the nation of Israel. And the land that he promised Abraham, according to Genesis chapter 15, was from the river of Egypt all the way to the river Euphrates. And this Hiddekel is right there where Euphrates, Tigris, all come together. And that's where he sees the Lord standing. And it's also the place where the Garden of Eden was. And we were looking at those verses last time and realized he's going to restore all that land to the Garden of Eden. His throne is going to be set up in Jerusalem. But here he is way over by Babylon, and Daniel seeing all this. And so it's like Daniel saying, wait, Lord, you got to give me some more understanding here before you close this out. So that's why we pick up in verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall the end of these be? These things. So, you know, he wants a little bit more understanding. And verse 9, and he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. As if he's not going to give Daniel any more understanding. And then he kind of backs off a little bit and says, Many shall be purified and made white. And so he's going to explain what the end of these things are going to be. So the Lord in his graciousness gave Daniel a little bit more information. And even though I don't think Daniel understood those things, it's certainly a little bit more information after that, a little increase or that extra knowledge about that vision that he was seeing. When you consider that, notice that Daniel's question is in the middle of verse 8 there, what shall be the end of these things? So when you think about that, Daniel already knows who. That man standing in the river there, lifting his hands to heaven, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the Messiah is going to come and fulfill the promises made to the nation of Israel. So he knows the who in all the visions that he's been receiving. He's learned the how. I mean, that's what, when you think about chapter 10 and 11, all the details about the king of the north, the king of the south, this victory, that victory, this, you know, this happening, this abomination. We studied all those details and we saw how the end is going to come about. So he already knows how. When he says when, or when we think about when, Daniel knows when. He swore that verse 7 there, when he says that it shall be for a time and times and a half a time. And we realize that's the middle part of the tribulation to the end is 3.5 years. When that abomination is set up until the end comes, Daniel knows when the end is going to come. It's going to come 3.5 years from the time of that abomination. So he understands the when. He even understands where, and that's where we're just talking about, that land promised to the nation of Israel, the throne promised to David, that's set up in Zion, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. From that all the way over to the Euphrates River is all going to be occupied as the Garden of Eden, as the land that God promised Abraham for the nation of Israel. They're not just going to have that little strip of land, they're going to have all that land. That's what God promised him, and so he knows where. What he doesn't know is the what. What is going to happen after these things, after that 3.5 years. There's already, we talked about some of those things, but there's an absent, okay, the Lord comes back and he sets up that kingdom there. What, you know, don't leave me hanging here. And but that's where God then intervenes and says in verse 9, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. I've given you all the revelation I'm going to give you. But you know what? Hold your place here. Come to Revelation chapter 20. I think by now there's some, this information is probably clear in your mind. We've done some comparisons several different times to the book of Revelation with Daniel. And what we were saying even last week is there's that progressive knowledge shall increase. There's this progressive revelation that God has given. The final revelation of prophecy is the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's him coming to establish the kingdom. It's the vision that Daniel saw with more detail than Daniel ever had. And so we have in chapter 19, the Lord coming back. In verse 16, he's on his vesture and on his thigh were the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, destroy the Antichrist kingdom, and he's going to come back and be King of Kings. He's going to set up his kingdom on this earth and rule over all the kingdoms of this earth. Not just Jerusalem, but it starts out in Jerusalem over the nation of Israel, but it's going to, the increase of his kingdom and peace shall be no end. He's going to cover the earth. He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then, like in verse 20 of chapter 19, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So what shall be the end of these things? Well, in Daniel, we know Jesus Christ is going to defeat the Antichrist and his kingdom, set up his kingdom. Well, here's more detail how that's going to be done. In fact, you wouldn't have known from Daniel that there's the beast and the Antichrist. He's the beast. There is the dragon, which would be Satan himself, influencing all of this. And then there's the false prophet that's causing people to bow down and worship and cause that number of the beast and all that. And so here's the beast and the false prophet thrown into the lake of fire. Then you get over to chapter 20, and it says, I saw an angel come down from heaven with a key of the bottomless pit with a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of that dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him to the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon it, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a little season. Now, we're not going to teach Daniel chapter 20, 21, and 22, but these are things that Daniel didn't know, that here the angels are going to take Satan and bind him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, but he's going to be loosed after the 1,000 years. That's why it ends by saying, after that he must be loosed a little season. Well, we'll talk about the must in just a moment. But so Satan is bound during that 1,000 years, and that there's the initial reign of Jesus Christ lasts 1,000 years. In verses 4 all the way down to verse 6, we talked already about the resurrection of the just and how the resurrection of the unjust is going to take place after the 1,000 years. That's what verse 7 says. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So that's information Daniel didn't know, that the initial part of the kingdom is 1,000 years, and then Satan is going to be let loose, and what is he going to do? He's going to deceive the nations. Think about that. He must be loosed for a little season. Well, that little season is the short time that he's loosed and he gathers another rebellion, a large rebellion, as the sand of the sea, it says, and comes against the camp of the saints, going to try to defeat the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom one more time. But God brings fire out of heaven and devours him. That's the end of him. he's defeated. But when it says he must be loosed for a little season, you realize why he must be loosed. If we were studying about the millennial kingdom, it's going to be restored. The earth is going to be restored. It's the restoration of all things, and people will live that whole 1,000 years. It'll be like the time before the flood. Methuselah made it 969 years old. But people here are going to live 1,000 years. They're going to be here when Jesus Christ comes back. They're going to be brought, some nations are going to be brought in the kingdom. Remember, we talked about some of them won't even know why they're allowed in, but they helped Israel, so they get to come in. They're going to come in natural bodies. The nation of Israel is going to be in glorified bodies because they're going to be ruling and reign with Christ that 1,000 years. But then the world's going to be restored and remultiplied during 1,000 years. Can you imagine people living that long? How many people are going to get born? And all those people are going to live in a world that's after the return of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, a lot of times we can't understand what it was like to live before the flood when people lived 969 years old. We know life as we know it here, where their sin is rampant, where Satan has influenced the world system, and then ultimately he's going to lead that tribulation rebellion to try to stop Jesus Christ from reigning. We know life like it is here. But Satan bound 1,000 years, there's no Satan to deceive the people. There's Jesus Christ reigning with a rod of righteousness. He's going to reign over the nations with a rod of iron, the Bible says, meaning he's going to keep them in line. When you read verses about someone doing something, they're going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. So there's going to be judgment, discipline, law and order in this world. There's not going to be, we're going to put them in jail for 14 years and have a retrial every couple years to find out if they're really guilty or not. The Lord knows. And his judgment is going to be right. There's going to be instant judgment at that time. So after 1,000 years, some people are going to start wondering, is Jesus Christ really the good guy? And Satan is going to be loosed, and he's going to say, no, I give you liberty. He's been ruling you with a rod of iron. Follow me. And there's going to be a rebellion. They're going to have to realize that they are sinners. They're going to have natural bodies, so they're going to have the sin nature in them. They're just under control because of law. But then when Satan gives them an opportunity to rebel, there's going to be a great rebellion after that 1,000 years. That's why he must be loosed for a little season. You'll see it even in Daniel in just a second. But so that's enough said about that. Verse 10 of chapter 20 says, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So now you got the devil, the beast, the false prophet, and before this chapter is done, all the damned of the ages cast into the lake of fire called the second death. And so the reason I say just those things, Daniel's asking, what shall the end of these things be? You and I know more than Daniel ever knew. Daniel's book was sealed. The Lord didn't give him all that information. Knowledge increased. God gave that revelation to John on the Isle of Patmos, and John wrote it down, and here you and I have the privilege of a complete Bible where the things that Daniel wanted to know, we can study and realize things that he never saw, never knew. So that Daniel sees the Lord coming back, he's going to reign. What happens now? Well, read the Bible and find out. And realize that sometimes you think it'd be great to live back in Daniel's day, but it couldn't be better than to live in the day that we live in with the complete revelation of God. So Daniel's asking those questions. Go back to Daniel chapter 12. He wanted to know the what. What shall be the end of these things? Verse 9 says, And he said, the Lord said to him, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified. Now here's a little bit of an answer. What's going to be the end of these things? Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So there's a little bit of detail in verse 10 of what shall be the end of these things. There's going to be those that are going to be tried and white, and there's going to be the wicked are going to do wickedly and not understand, but the wise are going to understand. So there's going to be more understanding as it comes to that end time. And certainly, if you lived in that tribulation, you'd be able to just read the newspaper and see the Bible. But the point is in verse 10 there, many shall be purified, made white, and tried. Now, when he does that, I want you to understand, that is the purpose of the tribulation. Now, I haven't put up the chart for a long time, but hopefully you realize that the tribulation is a prophesied event that all the prophets said there was going to be this time that's going to come. When you read, realize what Hebrews through Revelation is about in your Bible, when you read James chapter 1, it talked about, let me read the verse so I don't mess it up. James says, chapter 1, verse 2, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing this first, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. God's going to try the nation of Israel. He's going to try the whole world. And that's when it talks about, like in Peter, he says it this way. 1 Peter 1:7 says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, in the prophetic program, Israel is going to go through this trial of faith. The book of Hebrews calls it chastening. Hold your place, Daniel. Come to Hebrews chapter 12. And my point is, as I started to say, if we were putting up the Bible chart, we live in the dispensation of grace where God's not fulfilling prophecy. We are going to be raptured out, saved from the wrath to come, but the next prophetical event that's going to take place is the tribulation, the wrath of God that's going to last 7 years, divided into two sets of 3.5 years. And so when we're reading Daniel, we're reading all about that tribulation period. And then Daniel's told is being told in verse 10 of chapter 12 there what the purpose of the tribulation is. It's to purify, to make white, and to try many. So it's a trial of their faith, and that's exactly what the Hebrew epistles warned the next event to the nation of Israel. It's going to be a trial of faith. The reason I have you going to Hebrews, it says, I have you in chapter 12. Did I not say that? Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 5, it says, And have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye, catch this word, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now, I'm going to stop and read to you before I finish reading this. Revelation chapter 3, which is preparing the people to go for the tribulation. It's those the last of the seven letters written to the churches who are going to go through the tribulation. It says in Revelation 3:19, just listen, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. When you see Jesus standing, it's time for the tribulation to be poured out. But he's knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So the Lord is describing in verse 19, many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The tribulation is God chastening for the sake of purifying, making white, and trying. So in Hebrews, when it talks about this chastening of the Lord that's coming, if you endure chastening, you're a son of God. This is the tribulation. You might recall, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. They're going to be tried. Are you going to take the mark of the beast? Are you going to look for Jesus Christ to return? Are you willing even to die looking for Jesus Christ to return? He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. But if you be without chastening, you know how you can go without chastening in the tribulation? Take the mark of the beast. He won't bother you a bit. Then you're a bastard. You're not a son. God's dividing out within the nation of Israel and then the world as well. Who are his people and who aren't? And the purpose of the tribulation is that chastening. Verse 9 of Hebrews 12. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us and have given them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, after a few days chasteneth us after our own. No. For they, verily, for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So, the tribulation is only going to be 7 years, the great tribulation, the last half, 3.5 years, and that's the chastening of the Lord to purify and to make white and to try. And so that's what Daniel's really, when he asks, what shall the end of these things be? Well, the very purpose of the tribulation is to do that. I'd like to show you two other verses. Leave all that. Come to Isaiah, and I have a bunch of these marked, but we're just going to take a couple. Isaiah 4. Now you're going to see it's a judgment of God coming, which is the tribulation, ultimately. Isaiah 4 verse 1 says, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our bread and wear our apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. So men are out in war. They're dying. Women, they're just clinging to one man. A whole bunch of women, or was it say seven? Verse 2 says, in that day the branch of the Lord, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughter of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. The Lord will create upon them, create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assembly a cloud of smoke by day and a shining, a flaming fire by night, and upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle and so forth. My point is, whoever's left in Zion and in Jerusalem, they that endured to the end. Why? Because God is weeding out within the nation of Israel the wheat and the tares, taking the tares away. That's the purpose of the tribulation. That's why in Matthew 24, when it says two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left, everyone thinks that's the rapture. If you're in prophecy, you don't want to be taken away. You want to be left to go into the kingdom, because God's taken away the chaff and he's burning the chaff in unquenchable fire. And that's what's taking place in the tribulation, in this trial, and purifying them. Over in chapter 61, it talks about how they're going to be purified, given a robe of righteousness, and stand before the Lord. They're going to be purified, those that endure. Look, I have a bunch of these, like I said. Come to Psalms chapter 37. It's not in this Bible that I have, probably two Bibles ago. In reading through the Bible, these verses just started jumping out at me. I started marking, so that's why I said I have a bunch of them marked, but this is just a sample. If you look at Psalms 37, verse 22, it says, and such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that that be cursed of him shall be cut off. And that phrase about being cut off, that's all through here. Verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. See, God's saving the believing remnant and cutting off the rest. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Just the end of this. Verse 38 says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So my point to you is just so that you would realize what the tribulation is. It's a time of weeding out within the nation of Israel and the world those who are God's people that are going to be preserved to go into the kingdom. The ones who die, they're going to be raised as soon as Christ comes back to reign with him that 1,000 years. We read that in Revelation already. But the wicked are being taken away. So that's why in verse 10 of Daniel 12 there says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. So as he's judging them and purifying them, the righteous are going to be tried and they're going to pass. But the wicked are going to do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now this chapter began with talking about the wise already. It's actually in chapter 11 that the wise are going to, in verse 33, they're going to understand and they're going to convert other people. The wise are those who realize what's going on and who they should be following, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the wise are going to understand. I'd like you to see a couple other verses. Come back with me now to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9. It says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now he began to speak in parables. So he ends a parable by saying, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10 says, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given. Whoever hath what? Ears to hear. ears that are open to the truth of God's word, willing to hear. He that hath ears, it says, and whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, they don't have ears to hear, from him it shall be taken away, even that he hath. They're not going to have any understanding. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they understand. They're seeing the miracles of Christ, but they're not realizing this is what was promised in the Old Testament. This is our Messiah. They don't have ears to hear. They don't have receptive hearts. They're not letting what they hear, what they see, and what they hear go down in their heart and become a believer. And so they're not going to have any understanding. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed. They won't even acknowledge what they're seeing, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Even the next, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things that you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore, and he interprets the parable. That it's a heart issue. They have their ears closed, their eyes shut, so because their heart is not open to the truth. And so those people are not going to understand. Come over to chapter 16. You're right here. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now see, that's what they're going to have to do in the tribulation. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. So you're going to try to not get your head cut off? Well, you're going to be damned. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. They're going to have everlasting life. For what man? What is it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So the Lord's coming back, and those who understand, they're going to endure. And those that are wicked, they're not going to understand, they're not going to endure. And that's all because of their heart concerning the Lord. Now as we pick up next week, there's another revelation in Daniel chapter 12 that gives some time. I'll just throw it out to you. It first in chapter 12, verse 11, talks about 1,290 days. Then it says, blessed is he that come to the 1,335 days. So we got to deal with, I thought the tribulation was 1,260 days from the middle to the end, but now it's 1,290 days. There's an extra 30 days. And then there's 1,335. That's another 45 days. What is this? No wonder Daniel said, what shall the end of these things be? And we'll look at those things and try to understand first what the timing represents, and then what will happen in those timings. Perfect. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you that we have a full revelation to realize that Daniel saw so much, and it's been fun to go through the book and see what he saw, and give some understanding, but to realize he wanted more, but you didn't give him any more. And yet, you gave to John more, and we have all of that where we can read Daniel and Revelation and see what the end of these things shall be. So thank you for these studies. Thank you for your Bible. Thank you for the salvation and this the dispensation of your grace, where it's salvation is given freely to us by grace through faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.